All right, go ahead and be seated. Hope you're all stretched out a little bit. For those of you who don't know me, I am Jan Jors, and I want to thank you for all coming here and enduring this unusual service. For anybody who's new here, this is not how it usually goes, not at all. But when you got me, things change a little bit. Anyway, I'll bet you weren't expecting this, were you? Yeah. So, did any of those thoughts that you heard hit home? There you go. How about some other thoughts or questions? Did other things come to your mind? I thought I heard a few comments out there. That's good. Well, I asked to do this service because it's always been my belief that we, the laity here at McCabe, should be involved, and even more so now that we only have one pastor. Rick and the other current leaders can only do so much. And there are over 900 members here at McCabe. So think about this. Think about all the things that we could be doing, not only here in this building, but out in our community, if we all shared our God-given gifts. As members of the United Methodist Church, we all took a vow to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. And now they've also added our witness. We are reminded of this vow and renew it every time a new member joins or we have a baptism. If you don't believe me, pick up that hymnal. It's on pages 38, 43, 48, and 52. But today I want to talk to you about your gifts and your service that we profess in that vow. Do you know what gifts God has given you? Are you using them in service to others? In Romans 12, 6, it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Well, years ago, I did some extensive research about spiritual gifts and tried several different spiritual gifts assessments before deciding to use the program called Serving from the Heart. The acronym that they use is STRIDE, STRIDE. It stands for Spiritual Gifts, Talents, Resources, Individuality, Dreams, and Experiences. It was developed by the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. I chose this program because I felt it was the most comprehensive and easy. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, I took the Myers-Briggs test at work, or maybe a different one. And that's great, really. Any insight into about who we are as a person is very important. Spiritual gifts and gifts-based ministry are the foundations for understanding how the church is meant to operate and for understanding our individual roles within the church. With every believer using their God-given gifts, the church is better equipped to achieve the Great Commission as stated in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Every spiritual gift is designed to equip us to fulfill the Great Commission. As Christians, we are responsible for carrying on Christ's work as he commanded. The importance of spiritual gifts is addressed in several books of the Bible, and one of my favorites is 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 14. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all of its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. I think this passage is one of the easiest to understand. We are each a part of the body of McCabe and Christ, with different abilities and gifts. And if you do not use those gifts, then McCabe cannot fulfill and do what God has commanded us. So, if you don't know what your gifts are, please take some time to discover them. And if you don't know how, I'm here. Love to help you with that. Now, as far as your service, back in April, the bishop asked us to meet with a consultant to assess where McCabe is at. And Sue Nielsen-Kibbe gave us a report of what we need to do to grow numerically and spiritually. She believes that we must begin a new focus on nurturing and fueling the spiritual vitality of both current members and newcomers. Well, I've decided to take this challenge, and that's another reason why I decided to do this service. Sue asked us to read her book. It's called Ultimately Responsible, and I would like to read a section in Chapter 4, Unleashing Servanthood, under the subheading, Serving, Not Optional. During his life on earth, Jesus ushered in a whole new paradigm for his followers about their purpose and mission. Jesus modeled the lifestyle of servanthood, emphasizing over and over to those around him that this was the work God had called him and sent him to do. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Sue goes on. The powerful truth is that when a person makes a decision for Christ, the old life is gone and the new life of Jesus fills the believer. So if the life of Jesus lives and is embodied in you, then you have joined Jesus on mission to serve the needs of the world. Not serving is not an option. You have been invaded by the life of Jesus in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit. No longer is serving a choice based on convenience. It is a lifestyle in which you now live every moment. The life of Jesus in you will lead you to join in where God is working, wherever God needs your hands, your feet, and your gifts. Nowhere does Scripture validate the mistaken belief that a Christian's purpose is simply to read and learn the Bible and hang out with other believers, having potluck dinners and Sunday school classes. Those activities are intended only to prepare you for your real mission, to serve. In clearly defined terms, Jesus explained repeatedly what God's intention is for the work of believers, bringing healing and hope to those in need. This is the sole purpose of a life lived in harmony with God's intention. She goes on with Matthew 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in.
I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, for the righteous to eternal life. Sue goes on, in the language of the kingdom, those who serve are called servants by Jesus. Volunteers, the terminology used in many churches, is the language of the club. Volunteers give their time when it is convenient and whenever they personally choose. Servants, however, have a master who is in charge, and servants obey for a lifetime. Serving is not something a servant chooses when it's easy or convenient. It's a way of life, an identity. Hear her last words again and think about them. Serving is not something a servant chooses when it's easy or convenient. It's a way of life, an identity. Your service, as said in our vows, are the activities that you engage in to use the gifts that you have been given. Before Sue was here and gave us her report, I started working on a spiritual journey and servant catalog for McCabe. What you have in the bulletin is the start of our journey together as the body of McCabe. I have designed it and called it our spiritual expedition because of our connection to the history of the Lewis and Clark expedition. It starts with an explanation of what a spiritual journey is and what our book of discipline has to say about servanthood. There is a simple spiritual gifts assessment and discipleship map. The Servant Opportunities booklet is a listing of some possible ways you can use your gifts in the body of Christ. It is work in progress, and your input and participation are needed. So, with all this, have you figured out what was going on in that first half of the service? Where would McCabe be without the musical gifts shared by our singers, our accompanists, and our organist? How about the leadership of the choir director? The hospitality and helpfulness of our ushers and greeters? Anybody miss those? How about the words of wisdom and knowledge from our pastor? The mercy and healing of our parish nurse? And all the spiritual gifts, talents, resources, individuality, dreams, and experiences that are shared by the other people who are a part of a worship experience for you on any given Saturday or Sunday. And how about the rest of the week? Classes, dinners, activities for youth and for adults, all kinds of things go on here. All of you are a part of McCabe, and McCabe can only continue as long as we all share our gifts and service as God has commanded. During the final hymn and postlude, take your time, ask God to guide you, and take a look at those servant opportunities. There's a sheet in there, like this. Just jot down any of the areas that you might be interested in or already currently doing. And if you don't see something that God is leading you to do, make note of it on the backside. When you're done, you can bring it up with your offering, place it in the plates right up here, and then you can leave. Please leave, though, with the excitement of helping to complete God's mission and fulfilling our vows. Faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Thank you.